It is Locked On Jazz for the 31st. Happy Halloween of October.
Your daily
that guy dressed up as somebody other than Mike Conley came out of costume for us last night. This is Jazz Blew Out the Clippers. What did we learn? Some signs of Rudy Gobert's greatness, and the NBA is just completely wacky. We're going to touch on all of those things coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky numbers, and hopefully making a lot more fun for you to be a Jazz fan. I want to say thanks. In our industry, we look at a few things, the Spotify rankings, the iTunes rankings. Locked On Jazz is hovering as a local show. I mean, you know, Bill Simmons and Pardon the My Take and some of those others are all at the top of the list. I mean, obviously, they're going to have more listeners. But we're sitting on that top 200 list in a pretty darn good spot, about in the mid-hundreds all week long. And that's because your dedication to the program, and I super appreciate that, as well as all of our other Locked On programs. Rejecting the Screen has Richard Jefferson on today. Hollinger and Duncan came out Monday, if you didn't get it. And then I'm the host on Locked On NBA on Thursdays with my friend Ben Golliver. We're having a lot of fun with that. So make sure you grab that. We went through last night's action, which was insane, after the ball game last night. So thank you very much for all that. You've made us, I think, about the 23rd ranked basketball podcast, which is pretty incredible. Only the stinking Lakers are ahead of us as a local show. So thank you. Really, really appreciate that. All right. Yesterday, as we sat here, we were going to, I think, learn something, right? That's how we felt. We were sitting here, the Jazz were about to play the Clippers. The Clippers are the gold standard. The Clippers don't have Paul George, but we could still learn something. Kawhi Leonard's having this incredible year, and then Kawhi Leonard decides not to play. So load management kicks in. So in turn, unfortunately, I don't think we really learned a lot. There's not, like, I think we were hoping for a big takeaway here, and we didn't get a lot. What we did get were two things that I think are worth pointing out. And I'm going to start not on Mike Conley, but I'll get there. The Clippers took 24% of their shots at the rim. 24. That, we've only had, you know, 60 some odd games in the NBA so far. But that is in the third percentile of all teams so far this year in shots at the rim. The Jazz forced the Clippers into 49% of their shots being mid-range shots. You're going to win. I'd love to look at the game log. I'm going to guess you're going to win virtually every game you force someone at 50% of your shots. Now, the Spurs might be the team that ruins that a little bit. But generally, I think that's pretty close. What the Jazz are doing right now is absolutely bending the shot chart of every team that they play in an incredible manner. The rim percentages, just shots at the rim. It's ironic because I don't entirely care if these go in. Teams are getting, so far this year, Oklahoma City got 29% of their shots. Let me back up for 1 second, actually. Let's do one contextual piece here, even though we're early in the season. So let me just do one contextual piece. The middle team in the league, the median team in the league offensively, is taking 36% of their shots at the rim. The median defensive team is at about 35%, okay? So 36% is, I think, a fair number of what the league average is in regards to what teams do at the rim. Here's what teams are doing against the Utah Jazz. 29.7, Oklahoma City. That's in the 82nd percentile for defenses. Lakers got up to 32.2, still well off the league in the 67th percentile. Sacramento took 22% of their shots at the rim. That is one of the single best performances of the year of any defense. Phoenix took 31%, and the Clippers took 23.8%. That's incredible. Mid-range shots. Oklahoma City took... our goal for the Jazz is 40-40-20 offensively. 40% of your shots is threes. 40% of your shots at the rim. Okay, so the league average is like 35-36 on each of these. And so, you know, we want to be better than that. So it's, you know, this number for the rest of the league, mid-range shots, about league average is somewhere in the low 30s. Oklahoma City took 41% of their shots in the mid-range. That's in the fifth percentile, or the 95th from the Jazz standpoint. The Lakers took 40% of their shots. That's in the ninth percentile. Sacramento took 46% of their shots in the mid-range. That was the most of any team all season long, until then Phoenix did a good job. They only took 30%. And then the Clippers last night took 49%, which was the most of any team all year, surpassing that of what Sacramento did against the Jazz. That, to me, is the single most exciting thing going on right now about the Utah Jazz. That whatever Quinn Snyder teaches defensively, whatever Rudy Gobert allows you to do, the Jazz are completely bending every other team's shot chart. The Houston Rockets are allowing fewer shots at the rim, somehow, than the Utah Jazz. And otherwise, it's the Jazz and the Bucks. Last year, the Bucks allowed just 30% of the shots at the rim. That seemed like the holy grail. Like, you couldn't get under that. The Jazz are at 28. The Bucks are at 28. Orlando's at 28.7. The Rockets are at 27.5. This might be the new number to watch in the NBA, where at one point teams revolutionized the three. Milwaukee may have discovered something on this. What's interesting is Houston, Utah, Milwaukee, Orlando are the four teams that are keeping teams under 30% of their shots at the rim. They are all in the bottom of the league allowing three-point shots. The Jazz are in the top. And so the Jazz lead the league in forcing teams to take mid-range shots at 41%. It's brilliant. And to me, that's the biggest takeaway we have going on with this team, is that defensive brilliance. I know it's not the lead story you expected. The lead story you expected is Mike Conley, and it probably should be the lead story, but I'm just telling you that a little bit in my book, I didn't ever actually think that Mike Conley had completely fallen apart and was never going to be a player again. It was a little unnerving having, you know, as I kept kind of continually saying about Mike Conley, unless he got old in one moment. That seemed really unlikely. So we'll talk about Mike Conley, a rotation change on how the Jazz are doing rotation, and some of those things as well coming up. But I had to be a geek to lead. You wouldn't expect anything else out of me other than me being a geek to lead. Today's show is brought to you by my friend, Rob Taylor. I haven't talked to Rob in a while. I'm going to have to pick up the phone and call Rob. I'm sure he's not on his bike in this weather. It is cold, man. Shamrock Auto Group is a... nearly new used car dealership out of Pleasant Grove, Utah. When Rob started Shamrock Auto Group, he took 80 years of combined automotive experience, a buyer who's been a technician for over 25 years, kept a lean company, and said, we're going to guarantee just a few things. One, better cars, no drama, no hassle, great pricing, and we're going to get you in your truck or sedan just like that. Most of the cars are 6 to 12 months old, 5 to 20,000 miles, Suburban, Yukon, big SUVs, Utah County assault vehicles. Rob, when I asked him, what is your thing you're most proud of? People that call and say, hey, can you go get me this car? Or people that come from out of state because their customer service is that great. Look at all the reviews at cars.com or Google or wherever you want, whether it's Tracy Hutchins saying, I had an awesome experience with Shamrock Kellen. The salesperson was wonderful to work with. He had a great personality. I would recommend them to anyone. I actually just purchased my 2016 Ford F-150 from him on September 21st. You find other ones from Lizzie Tomlinson. We love Shamrock. We just purchased our second vehicle for them. Both experiences are great, friendly, straightforward salespeople. Don't push you into anything. So if you're looking for a nearly new car or used car, Shamrock Auto in Pleasant Grove. Rob's my guy. Tell him you're with Locked On Jazz. Call 801-319-2250. That's 801-319-2250. Mike Conley lives. It was pretty great. I got to really tip my hat to the fan base yesterday. There's always our fans are the best, and every city says it. Then there are moments where I have to admit something happens, and I'm like, wow, our fans really get it. And I thought that there were two things last night that made me super impressed by the fans. One was the introduction of Bojan Bogdanović. The Bojan Bogdanović crowd was, the fans were kind of awesome. He probably got the loudest applause of anyone out there. And that was, you know, appreciation of what he played. I'm not sure that that happens in every single city that way. That fans, the teams and fans know what they want. The other one was there was a clear, like, early connection between Mike Conley and the fan base. I don't know what it stems from, whether it's just the eagerness of what this season might be. I don't know if it, you know, I really don't. But it was great. And Mike's hitting the shots, fans going nuts, fans chanting Conley, Mike feeling it. It was cool. Tip of the hat. So Mike got it rolling last night. Probably we should, you know, hey, it was unusual. He was really not very good, right? And there were, you know, and I think, you know, we're still going to see some of it. I mean, it's not like he's never going to make a mistake again. He's never going to drive the basket and lose the ball again. But he just got it rolling. It was pretty cool to see. 11 of 17, 5 of 8 from 3, 2 for 2 from the free throw line. Last night was a little unusual. He scored 18 points in the third quarter. He'd only scored more than that once in his entire NBA career in a quarter. So it's not that's not going to be the new model. But it was great to see. And, it, you know, you start looking at this. We're 5 games into the season. We're 4-1. Mike Conley has been the lead dog offensively once. Donovan's done it, and Bojan's done it. Well, that's what we got. We got 3 guys who can drop average 20 a game, 3 guys who can come close to dropping 30 in a game. We've gotten 29-29 for Conley and Bojan. And Donovan's, you know, just crazy efficient right now. Donovan Mitchell is shooting for the season 53% from the field, 39% from 3, and 81% from the free throw line. He's averaging 24 points, and his workload is so much less than what it was a year ago. I mean, Donovan has come out of games and said to people, holy smokes, I was exhausted, and now I'm not. But what you saw last night was the offense running with all of its guns blaring. Against a limited team, yes, but still an offense running with all of its guns blaring. So Bojan Bogdanović got going early. Mike Conley starts hitting shots, and then all of a sudden, Mike Conley's rolling to the basket for a lob to Rudy Gobert that we haven't seen, and plus you've got Donovan Mitchell, while living in the mid-range for much of the night, having a high-level efficiency, going 10 of 17 from the field. The Jazz built a roster that has the capability of having multiple players go over 25 to 30 points a night, and it changes the entire dynamic of who they are offensively and how you're going to defend them. You used to be able to go after Donovan, build your game plan for Donovan, and there was not another option. Ricky and Joe and Jay could do their thing, but it's not this. It's not Bogdanović, Conley, Mitchell, 3 guys that led their team in scoring a year ago. That's dramatically different than what we had in the past. And you can feel it. And the offense is not great yet. Last night was a 111.3. It's just on average against a team that's been terrible defensively that was limited. So it's not a team that's been great yet. But it was great to see Mike rolling. You saw the little in and out dribble. You saw the floater. You saw the 3. You saw a quick transition 3. You saw a lot of cool stuff. And think that'll get him just to relax and play. This is going to take some time. We talked about when we had the bad game earlier this year. That what it takes is, you know, it takes these guys a little bit of time to understand what is wanted, what is Quinn wants, it's a read-based system. And so we're going to have to let that happen. Mike Conley is getting looks he didn't get before. He actually had from my vantage point, I could be wrong on this. You can't feel it on the floor the same way they do. But there was a moment in which Mike Conley took had a ball in the corner for a three and then dribbled into a different look once to his right. And frankly, I thought got himself into a more crowded position than he had been otherwise. Because I just don't think he realizes how open he is. He'll see film on that, and I think he'll be like, oh, I was wide open. Bojan Bogdanović is getting 6 catch and shoots from 3 a game. It's about 7th in the NBA. That's more than he used to get. He's beginning to understand that. And he's driving the basket, and he's finishing when he needs to. Mike Conley's getting 2 of them. I think he's going to be able to get more. The Jazz as a team are still not taking advantage and getting the catch and shoot 3 game going the way they had it in the past. So I'm pretty certain that as Mike Conley now warms up and drives to the basket and teams have to adjust to that and they're worried about it, that's going to change. Jazz are now taking 18.8 catch and shoot 3s a game. Last year, that number was 24. So they're way off where they were a year ago. League might be changing a tiny bit. You never know this time of year. But we're the 6th fewest in the league. Last year, we were 13th in the league, and 13th in the league seems to be right around that same number of 23 or 24. So that's the number to me of when we know the offense is beginning to click. Last year, the Jazz got, per game, the Jazz took 16 wide or 20 wide open 3s a game. They're at 15 right now. Defenses could be different, but Rudy's not dunking a bunch. So I just think we're not spaced right. We're not there yet. It's not all together. And yet we're still kind of doing what we've been talking about so far. It's been hard to tell what the designed rotation is for the team, and they've been fiddling with it. You go back to Phoenix and try to look at Phoenix, and Conley gets in foul trouble so early, it's hard to tell. But I think we saw a quantum change yesterday. It worked beautifully. The bench unit went on a 14-2 and a 7-0 run. So one, George Niang came out of the rotation yesterday. 2, Joe Ingles is making the early substitution for Don. This is interesting. I thought this was going to be Bojan Bogdanović that they did this with, but instead they did it with Donovan. So Joe Ingles comes in early and Donovan Mitchell went out at the 7:05 mark. So early, 5 minutes. Then the substitutions really start at about the 3 or 4 minute mark and Donovan recircles back in. Now, a few things on the impact of what this rotation change is. So Donovan's now playing 3 stints. Shorter bursts, more energy. Quinn kind of alluded to this in a talk before the game about load management. Mike Conley, who started the year in 3 bursts, is now back to 2. Maybe that helps him. Bojan Bogdanović is playing 2, and he's playing with Mike Conley and with Rudy Gobert. Bojan and Rudy Gobert virtually on the floor every minute together. I thought this was going to be Conley, Gobert, and Donovan that were on the floor together and let Bojan run that second team, but this is probably a lot better. So Donovan plays 3 bursts last night in the first half. He plays 4:54. Between the first and second quarter, with a quarter break, he plays 3:22. Then he plays 4:05 on the quarter break. Then he plays 5:46 to close. See if it works. The Jazz then were able to get the Conley, Ingles, Donovan, Bojan, Rudy Gobert lineup on the floor for the final 4:47 of the second quarter. The lineup where else, at least I'm so excited about, and yet it goes -8. But they were able to do it again in the fourth period. It went +6. So for the first time all year, we've now seen that lineup on the floor twice in the same game. That It had only played 10 possessions all year together. That's the first time we've seen it together the whole for longer. They also put the bench out there of a bench unit of Emmanuel Mudiay, Donovan Mitchell, Joe Ingles, Jeff Green, and Ed Davis. It's interesting. It went on a 14-2 run. It went on a 7-0 run. Its next time out, it was plus one over the two stints. That's an interesting second unit. It lets Donovan take the scoring load. Let's Ingles play off there. Mudiay and Green both don't pass a lot. Ed Davis doesn't score. But it has Donovan on the floor. You have Donovan, and you've done now what I thought you'd do, which is Donovan and Boyan are on the floor at all 48 minutes of the night. It's interesting. But it seems as though they might have solidified. It also felt as though Jeff Green had a better night last night. By Niang not playing, Jeff Green goes and plays 10 and a half straight minutes. Mudiay plays 8 straight minutes last night. So you're going to play 16 minutes. You're going to play two eights. Jeff Green's going to play 20 minutes. He plays two tens. Ed Davis is going to play 14. He plays two sevens. Kind of like it. It looks really clean. So in that sense, it's kind of interesting. InterCap Lending has done amazing work for our clients so far. In fact, I got another email the other day from someone saying, you know, who's our guy? Who is it we're using? I can't thank you enough for how often you guys are using our clients. In fact, it was Alexander Perkins emailed me and said, hey, who's our guy? Steve Carter. I'm like, Steve Carter, direct line. Here it is. It's great to see. InterCap's done some neat stuff. I want to give a tip of the hat. To start the school year, they went to two different schools, one in West Valley, one in Orem. They bought school supplies, backpacks for every student at these schools. One on the first day, InterCap employees organized an event where each student got to come through and select all their supplies. 2 days, 1,700 fully supplied elementary students. Really cool. From a business standpoint, Steve Carter's our guy over at InterCap. He does amazing work. Why is InterCap having such amazing growth and success? Well, number one, they get loans done. And that's what it's all about. When you're going, you want to get a loan done. When realtors are dealing with someone, they want to get deals done. They got them done. They've exceeded the amount of work that they all of last year already this year by a good amount. They do things differently. They're hyper-responsive. They embrace change. They make sure you have a great borrower experience. Steve Carter's our guy. If you call Steve Carter, 385-885-28 over at InterCap Lending and tell him, hey, this is Locked On Jazz. You get the corporate discount, and he'll help you out. InterCap Lending, NMLS number 1904465. For more information, visit intercaplending.com, and please let us know about your experience. Excuse me. All right, we've touched on most of the things I wanted to hit on today. The big ones, Conley is alive. What did we learn? New rotation, defensive shot charts. Defense is still great. Donovan's efficiency. Those were kind of the big things I had from last night. The league is nuts. If you have not paid attention to what happened last night, the world changed last night. The number one thing that changed last night is that Steph Curry broke his left wrist and is out for an extended period of time. And I'd have to say, I really kind of feel like at this point, the Warriors are done. Now, that can be overstated, but, I mean, they might have been done anyway. They were down 30 to Phoenix. Ben Golliver and I talk about it. So, who are the playoff teams now in the West? Okay, so the Big Five have not shown you that there's anything wrong. The Clippers, the Lakers, the Jazz, in no order, the Nuggets, and the Rockets, right? And kind of crazy. The Rockets are 3-1. Dallas is 3-1. Lakers are 3-1. Clippers are 3-2 only because Kawhi didn't play a game, or the Jazz would be 3-1. And the Jazz are 4-1. Then we had our next tier of teams in which the Warriors were in it. Sacramento was talked about. Sacramento's 0-5. Pelicans were talked about. They're 0-4. Thunder are 1-4. They just have a brutal start to the season. And so suddenly, who's our next tier? Spurs are 3-0. Dallas looks terrific at 3-1. Minnesota looks pretty good at 3-1, but they have feasted on the Eastern Conference. So let me put a little, while it's 2-1 on the road, they've only played Eastern Conference teams. They finally played a good one and lost. What about Phoenix? Phoenix is 3-2. Portland, after losing a close one the other night, pulls a good one out against Oklahoma City last night. Portland's just kind of winning the games they're supposed to win. Right? They lost at San Antonio. They lost at home against Denver on the opener. They go and win in Oklahoma City two nights later. They win in Dallas on a close one. Lose in San Antonio, win in OKC. That's exactly what you should do on the trip. They've actually played four of their first five on the road. So it's still going to be nuts. But it's interesting that I think we've now narrowed down three spots to five teams. And Minnesota could fall off still. And the trash talk between Joel Embiid and Karl-Anthony Towns on the internet last night was like WWF, but it evidently was real. This league is insane. Craziness taking place. Absolute madness. We don't have enough sample size to look at it yet with any validity, but we have sample size. Okay, so that's of those five of these teams we're talking about. Point differential, Phoenix is still number one. They've just blown people out. There's a point here where Phoenix's 11.4 point differential has something to say. Utah's point differential is the second best. The Lakers' point differential is third best. Dallas's point differential is fourth best. The Clippers' point differential is fifth. San Antonio's is sixth. Denver's is seventh. Minnesota's is eighth. Portland's is ninth. Houston, interestingly, there of this group of teams that we've highlighted, is 10th. And I think I skipped by. No, I had San Antonio, so that's it. So point differential-wise, Houston is number one in the league offensively at 118.6, and their defense is at 117.6. So they're only plus one. They are just not defending at all. And after last night's insanity, whereas Ben Golliver says Rucker Park showed up between the Rockets and the Wizards, where they scored 300-plus points in the third highest scoring game that has ever taken place in the non-overtime game. On Locked On NBA today, Ben Golliver and I talked about that one. Rui Hashimura is playing well. So some interesting notes for you from Ben Golliver and I on all of that in the NBA. Well, it'll be interesting to see. It's interesting. The five best defenses in the league all begin to kind of make sense. Utah, Orlando, Philadelphia is what we anticipated. Phoenix, they're just playing really well. They're defending the shot better in Oklahoma City. Now, is that because they all played the Jazz and so the Jazz offense has struggled, or is... And the Jazz offense is not very good right now, and so three of the top six defensive teams have played the Jazz, or is it the fact that three of the top six Jazz played three of the top six defensive teams, and so their offense is not very good? Well, Sacramento is 28th defensively. Interesting little stretch here for the Jazz. Sacramento, who is 0-5 and just reeling, and I hate to say it, I think we're walking into that building at the wrong time unless they have just no heart. Then we get the Clippers, and Kawhi will play. Then we come back for Philadelphia. Joel Embiid gets suspended for three games. He does not play that game. Friday, Milwaukee, we go to Golden State. And then things lighten up a little bit. Then we have a really interesting stretch coming up here. After Milwaukee, we play Golden State without Steph, Brooklyn at home, at Memphis, Minnesota back-to-back, hard to beat them twice. And Minnesota's going to be a problem for us because of Karl-Anthony Towns. Golden State, New Orleans. We can find a way to go sneak two of the next four or even three of the next four and suddenly find ourselves sitting around at what would we be? We'd be 7-2. Let's call it 6-3. Decent chance we can run off most of that next sequence. Seven games, go 6-1 out of that. All of a sudden, 13-3 or something and rolling. And we might still not know if we're any good. I think we'll know after Philadelphia and Milwaukee. If we can get either of those at home, I think we'll feel pretty good about ourselves. All right, that is Locked On Jazz today. Go listen to Locked On NBA, your daily national podcast. NFL Crossover Wednesdays were yesterday. If you're a Bronco, Niner, Seahawk fan, whatever you might be, go grab those. Have a great day. This has been Locked On Jazz, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.